Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Is this, you guys ready to get into the Word this evening? Well, welcome everybody. Can we hear it for our worship band one more time? It is, I can say that honestly, this team is such a solid team, not just at our East Campus, but at our Northwest Campus, and it's fun because we get to kind of mix and mingle, and if you've ever been a part of a team or been at a job that you thoroughly enjoyed, or on a, you know, some sort of group of people, maybe you're part of like the parent-teacher thing at your school or something, you've ever just been around a group of people that are thoroughly enjoyable, I can say that over this worship team. You know, we have such a great group of people that are up here. They're authentic, and it is something that is to be celebrated. And so not only are there great people up here on this stage, but there are great people that are sitting next to you. Can you say hello to some of those people? If you're online and you have some people in the house or wherever you're at, please say hello to them, greet them, love on them. If you're driving in your car listening to this later, hey to you. Hello. So my name's Tom. I am the Northwest Campus pastor, and I appreciate you guys so much. And tonight we are going to be continuing in the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles open, it's in the New Testament. It's like a few books in. And if you have your Bible that needs to be turned on or activated or whatever, please do so. That's totally okay. We have been in the book of Ephesians for a while now, and we started doing these, oh gosh, I don't think we're coming up on a year yet, but these Wednesday nights we are doing verse-by-verse Bible studies, and we have been diving into the book of Ephesians, and last week we had Adam Perez here, Pastor Adam, and he is from Lindsay, and he's out there and doing some amazing things out there, and he and I have known each other for a very, very long time, and one of like the first interactions we had, it was back when we were younger, and we used to play on Thanksgiving what's called Turkey Bowl. Anybody play football? Maybe back in the day? Okay, all six of us. So we're playing, and it's coming towards the end of the game, and we really didn't know each other, but we did this particular thing where we just knocked knees, and I went down, and I'm a tough guy in my mind, and my mom says so too, but I stayed down. And he got right back up, which as a man, that's very defeating because you're just like, yeah, I want to get back up. And then it was even the salt on the wound was then they ended up just like canceling the game because it took me a while to get up. And so that was my first interaction with that guy. And then fast forward, and he's got an amazing family, and we've just been doing ministry in different ways. And it's amazing to see God moving through him while he's got his own church over there, but he's still, you know, a part of the family. And so like he said last Wednesday that he was supposed to be here, I'm supposed to be here today. The way that we schedule things is we're pretty rhythmic in okay, God, what do you want to do for this month? What do you want to do for this month? But some things got switched around. Maybe you're looking at your calendar and you're like, isn't it supposed to be Jim? Yes, technically, but you got me today. And what's even better, oh, stop it. But what's even better is that God is here, and it's so good that we get to be in the house of the Lord, and we are getting into a very interesting verse today. We're going to give you a little more context in that. I am hoping we get through the verses. I'm hoping we get through it, but it's something that I think God wants to clarify when it comes to us as believers, and so we are starting it out right in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 8. So if you have your Bibles on you, it says, "To me," this is what Adam read last week, "the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Verse 9. "And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him." That's where we're going to land. Now, I know it's a lot, what we just said. And there is, Adam drove it home. If you missed the message last week, Adam drove home verse 8. Very least, Paul is writing here. He says, "I'm the very least of all the saints." If you want to check out that message, please do. We would love for you to check that out. It's online. It's on YouTube. It's on vbf.org. And he further says, it's to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. That's verse 9. And maybe you feel like that. Maybe you're somebody who's been following the Lord for a year, or maybe you've been following the Lord for 16 years, maybe even 40. And the very fact of reading the Bible or trying to dissect this, it's a mystery to you. And I want to talk about something that Paul later then says as to why it could be a mystery. So let's pray, and then we'll start diving in, okay? So if you would, please bow your heads. Father, we ask for your presence to open up our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to receive the message here tonight. Use me to make it clear, not only to myself, but to everyone who can hear and listen and be a part of this study tonight. We ask for it to make sense. We ask for it to be something that we can apply to our lives. We love you, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to look at verse 10. Tonight, I really want to dive into verse 10, because if you've ever read Paul's writings, he can be extremely confusing. And you got to read it real slow. If you got King James Version, good luck. If you have the Message Version or the Amplified Version, yeah, that kind of helps in kind of explaining it and further, you know, speaking our language. And so sometimes it can be, there are verses in Scripture that are meant to be studied. And how I know that I'm supposed to be here today speaking on this is because 3 weeks ago, I got, for the first time in a very, very long time, a few hours to myself. And it was beautiful. I'm a father of two. I'm married. And just having that moment where it was like, I got 3 hours to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to go get something to eat. And it was nice. And I'm sitting there with my Bible, and I'm reading the Bible. Now, pause. That story makes me sound real good. I do not always sit down and eat and have my Bible on me. This was just a rare occasion. The stars aligned. Everything was working out. I don't want to give you this false idea of who I am. And it's like, wow, I wonder what his home life is like. I bet it's perfect. No, it ain't. I yell. I got a lizard. I got two kids. It's a lot. So Paul is writing, and as I'm by myself, I read this verse. If you could put verse 10 back up, Alex, please. So Paul is writing, and he's like, you know, I'm the least of these, and I'm, you know, I gotta help you with this hidden wisdom. I gotta speak this hidden wisdom to you. That's my responsibility. Then in verse 10, it says, the reason why I'm speaking this is so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Now, if you've read the Bible before, or if you've attended church for, you know, about 3 years, you might have heard of similar phrasing like that. You've heard about the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, or you've heard about the rulers and principalities. You've heard about this, but maybe the verse that you're referencing is a verse where it says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities, these things in the heavenly places. But now you're seeing it here, but in a completely different context. Let's read it one more time, and then we're going to start tearing it apart word by word. It says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So now let's start tearing this apart. I am very simple. I'm going to go word by word because I do not know the words and these definitions. But especially because this was not originally written in English. It was written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew. It was written in these different languages that are so much more sophisticated than ours. Ours might be the hardest language to learn because we have words that mean things that don't make any sense. Lit. Gas. Anyways, other words. So let's look at what these words meant in the Greek. So the word manifold, I'm going to do my best to say it in Greek, okay? Polyoukeios. Sounded natural, didn't it? Polyoukeios. It means manifesting itself in a variety of forms. Manifesting itself in a variety of forms. Okay, so we have this manifold wisdom. So now wisdom is the word Sophia. Any Sophias in the house? Well, then you're very smart. This means in the Greek, it says, from the great variety of ways and methods by which he, capital H, devised and achieved salvation through Christ. This is what these words mean. Let's continue. The word church is ecclesia, the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth. Collectively, all who worship and honor God in Christ in whatever place that they may be. Now let's look at the word rulers. This one is super, like, Greek. I'm going to do my best. I barely got Spanish. Arhe. That's all you get. I'm only doing it once. You can watch it on YouTube later. But that means the first place. Principality, rule, the term is transferred by Paul to angels and demons holding dominions entrusted to them in the orders of things. That's what the rulers are. We have the word authorities is exousia, the leading and more powerful among created beings, superior to man, spiritual leader of a group. And then lastly, let's just further kind of drive a point home, heavenly places. Epuranias. Do the best I can. Which is pretty simply heavenly regions. Heaven itself, the abode of God and angels. So don't worry. I'm going to help us here together because you're like, I came to church because my marriage is falling apart. What does epikeios have to do with my life? If you could put that sentence, that verse up in the original, we're going to look at this real quickly. So again, verse 10 says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So now after breaking down what those words meant in the Greek, let's look at it in a different way, if you could put that up. So that the variety of ways by which God devised and achieved salvation through Christ, this way that he did this, might now be made known through the body of Christians scattered throughout the earth to the angels and demons holding dominion entrusted to them and the more powerful created beings in the home of God and the angels. And we think we're just here to listen to a TED Talk. We think we're here just to tithe because that's what you're supposed to do. If you can leave that verse back up, I think we're still marinating on that verse. Because it's funny how easy the enemy of God can persuade us to not be here today. It's easy how he can, well, you don't want to drive over there. Gas is expensive. Well, you don't want to go there because you're not going to know anybody and you're going to have to probably sit by a weirdo. Well, you don't want to go there because of this. You don't want to go there because of that. You don't want to go there. And he'll create these little things. Now, on our own, church, you and I are powerful. On our own, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. On our own, we could be dangerous, sure. And what's crazy is that we will use that as an excuse not to attend church. Obviously, clearly, not you. But haven't we been tempted to do that before? Well, we're on vacation, after all. I'll just chill. And then the next Wednesday or Sunday comes, and you're just like, that was actually kind of nice. You know how much stuff I got done around the house? And then little by little, it's just this little deterrent to attend church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the goal is to live here. No, because then how is the lost world going to know about their Savior? So we need to go out there. But we also need to be in here. We need to be in the presence of believers, and it's not necessarily for the reasons that I think sometimes we assume we're supposed to be here. Because it's really interesting. If you can put up in the back room Ephesians chapter 1, Jesus says something about the church body. It says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is currently in heaven. The Holy Spirit moves through us so that we can now be Jesus on the earth. Now, I don't want us to get arrogant in that. Like you walk out of here, your chest all puffed out. I am Jesus. No, you're not. I was trying to like minister to somebody on Facebook one time and just using the terminologies, like I was letting him know, like, I am a son of God. You are a son of God. And he's like, you are the son of God? I was like, homie, no. I didn't say that. Not the son, a son. There's a difference. I'm not the only begotten. I'm just one of however many there are have been in the past. But the scriptures are telling us in Ephesians that it is through you and I together that will make an impact. And we think sometimes, and majority of the times I'm guilty of it, the messages up here are about you as an individual. You as a father, you as a mother, you as a son, you as whatever category you place yourself in. And sometimes we forget the importance and the power of the number of people that are Christians. And what an interesting time that God would want me to study this while I'm sitting down having a coffee. And then what Adam does, Adam was supposed to on Wednesday, according to the title, if you go to look at his sermon title, he was supposed to cover both this verse and all the way up to verse 14. And then something happened, he just stays on 8. And then it's my turn to go. And I go, okay, Lord, I see you. This message is important. You wanted us to know together the importance of the church. Because sometimes I think too, we don't understand that there is still a spiritual battle. But let's also look at that verse again. God wants to use the church to prove to the spiritual world his unfathomable love for us. If you are a person who thinks there's no way God wants me, no, that's exactly what God wants. And it blows the minds of all the spiritual beings that if we, can you put that explanation verse back up? Because it's really interesting when it talks about the authorities. It's the more powerful created beings. You ever read that story where that one angel killed 185,000 soldiers? And that guy stares from heaven and watches people like us get saved and goes, really, God? You're saving them? Scripture actually talks about that. I'm jumping around. Alex, forgive me. I do apologize. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at more or less the last part of it, but it says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The very gospel itself in action, us taking it and taking it to the lost, and the angels are looking from heaven going, oh my gosh, this is why God loves them so much. Look at them go. Look at how they take care of each other. When natural disasters happen, what do we do naturally? Someone is on the side of the road. You see a car accident. You see someone just clearly the hood's popped or whatever. What do people tend to do? We will stop our lives and we will help. Well, there was one time we had a graduation here for Bakersfield College, and this little chick was all running around, and it was very obvious that she was lost. I saw her, two other people saw her, we don't know her, and we instantly go to her and grab her and say, okay, where's your family? Let's help you. We do this, and angels can't understand it. Demons can't understand it. They long to look. The angels long to look at what it is that we're experiencing. And how crazy is it that this is also the one area of our life that we feel the most unqualified? Are we sharing the good news of God? He is. But let's think about this. I'm not like Pastor Al, right? Come on. Someone stand here. I don't do that stuff. I'm me. But sometimes we think we have to be Pastor Al. Some of you in here have a worship gift, but you look at the people that are up on stage and you go, well, I'm not like them. Some of you love God with all of your heart, and you've got a lot of wisdom. You've been following the Lord for a long time, but maybe you think that you're too old. So no, you don't get involved. You don't try to help. You don't try to start something. You just kind of stay in your lane. When God is saying, I sent Jesus to start the church, and the church is supposed to be a place where we come together, we should be in awe of God. That like, oh dang, you're here? You were messed up and you're here? Now we shouldn't, don't get me wrong. The goal is not to be messed up, stay messed up. That's not the goal. It's not that you can be like, yeah, I'm here, look at me. And then you go back out to the style of life that you were living prior. But it also doesn't mean that you're supposed to come in, receive the Lord, and every single person overnight quits whatever it is that they were doing prior. There are some stories like that. There are some miracles that are like that. But God is relational, and he knows what each of us can handle. And ladies and gentlemen, he wants to work with you according to your individual characteristics. And sometimes, though, we use the church as a weapon. Sometimes we use it as a comparison tool and say, well, I'm not like them. They did this. I struggle with the same thing. Theirs was fixed at this amount of time. Or I don't relate to any of them because I don't dress like them. My history isn't like them. And what we start to do is we use the church to keep ourselves from the church. Now, once again, this clearly doesn't apply to anybody here. but it does apply to some people. And so when you're out there and you're ministering to people and you're loving them, and they start bringing up to you like their dilemmas that they have with the church, don't attack them. Don't beat them down anymore. It's really hard for me, like, you know, I'm 33. I've got this younger generation that's coming up, and I appreciate and respect the older generation. I like their ways of doing things. Things are changing, this transition period. And you look at this generation and you're like, you guys are different. And I think sometimes it's a bad thing. But then you start finding out that the majority of them come from broken homes. A majority of them have had pills popped for them. They were too out of control. They were depressed. They thought that this acne was going to take over. And so they were just given medication and medication and medication to take care of this problem, to take care of that problem. They were told to go to the authorities for whatever it was that they were going through, that they had to follow a line of. And so you start understanding that they're a product of us. This generation is the ones growing up with all the streaming services. That you can make money off of YouTube, no problem. Make money off of playing video games. And then we have the audacity to say, man, you guys are lazy. You want to play video games all day? And it's like, why wouldn't you when you can play a competition and win $1 million at 14? And so we start attacking them. And God's saying, wait a second, that's not what I called you to do. I called you to love. I called you to look at them and see them as my kids. And it's not necessarily something that's supposed to make sense, which is why the angels are looking on going, this is so confusing. Because God, don't you have a hierarchy? Don't you have a list of rules? Don't you have these things? Because clearly these angels are bound by them. But then God looks at us and gives us free will. And when an angel steps back and sees us freely respond to his goodness, and then freely share it with the people around us, the angels are in awe. And we're supposed to show that. We're supposed to be that. But sometimes we miss it. Because if you think about the way that church is supposed to be, I think the last time I spoke here on a Wednesday night was after our night of worship. We have another one coming up. It's the first Sunday of the month. We've been doing it like that ever since the year started. And we were in awe at this night of worship. We were in awe because not only were we singing, but we were also praying and praying for a variety of things. And so certain people would come up and they would pray for whether it was generations or it was finances or it was healings or it was whatever the case may be. And you could feel in the room when a group of believers believed, the room changes. The belief changes. The faith grows. The nearness to God, and you're just, all you want to do is stay there. And I felt it probably for the first time ever, really. Because it was so authentic. And God goes, this is the church. When we come together. Now, Tom, does that mean that if I have marriage problems and I come in here, like, I'm just supposed to stay quiet about it? No. The beauty of the church is that you have people that will pray for you. But you have to open up about it. The beauty of it is when you come here for so long, well, Tom, no one ever notices me. I've been going to different churches. I walk in and no one rolls out the red carpet for me. I'm going to challenge you a little bit. That's a little selfish. That's a little selfish. It ain't about you. We got our own stuff. I'm not saying you're wrong. But once again, I do think the enemy can get in there and just and expand on that idea for you. Because again, he doesn't want you to be a part of this. So you will start to notice these different things. You start noticing like, oh, that person wore that shirt. Oh, that person, I went to high school with them and they bullied me. And so you start pulling apart all these different things when that was supposed to be the beauty of this place, is that a wide variety from all walks of life would be able to find home in church. Now, I want to look at a few more things, because there is so much healing in a home. You probably have gone on vacations and maybe with different people, maybe different family, and you go and you live this way of life for a few days, 2-3 days, maybe a week. Maybe you're trapped with them for like 2 weeks or whatever. And you've lived this routine and you've had fun, you've enjoyed yourself, but then you get home. And your bed is set up the way, your room's set up the way, and the kitchen's this, you know where everything's at, and it just brings this peace. That's how the body of Christ, the church, is supposed to be. I don't know how we've gone so far off. And when I say we, I don't mean Valley Bible. I mean the church as a whole. I can't remember the numbers exactly, and I don't want to exaggerate just for the sake of an illustration, but there are thousands of believers that fall away every year. How? Has God changed? Has the message of Jesus Christ, our Savior, changed? No, it's the church. The church has done a job that has ruined it for them. And God, that's not his design. Will there be chaos in the church? Sure, it's people. It's us. It's us. But this should be a place where we encourage one another. And I know that stuff is difficult. This should be a place where we pray for one another. That during worship, like, it's not about us necessarily, but we go, okay, God, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm right here, right now. Do you want to use me right now? You do? Someone in a blue shirt? Okay, cool. Bring them to me. Show me where they're at. God, you want me to go deeper? Oh, I hear you. You want me to get involved? Oh, you want me to do this thing? Oh, you want me to say this to my spouse? Oh, you want me to pray for this? Oh, you know, we got in a fight from the car all the way up to here, and we got to put a face on because we're in church now. But then I hear you, and you're telling me that she's been busy at work, and she's stressed out, and that's why she snapped on you. But you took it all offensively because you're a little bit sensitive, and now it's time for you to step up, and it's time for you to pray for her. It's time for you to say, I'm sorry, and that's God talking to you, and you have one of two options because of free will. You either do it and watch God work, or you don't. And God is saying, this is supposed to be that place where you lean into me. You respond to what I'm saying. Imagine walking in here and people are just encouraging you. Imagine walking in here after a tough day, and you're doing your best, and you've got those people who life's been going pretty good for them, and they're able to catch you, encourage you. Imagine having people in here that there are regulars, and just by the look in your eye, they can tell you need prayer for something. No, I don't. No. Me? You do, probably. I'll pray for you. And they're just like, buddy, I can see it. It's all over you. Let me pray for you. And what happens is the body of Christ begins to actually be the body of Christ. That angels from heaven are looking down and are awestruck by our being together. That we would be a church that would encourage the people. You know what's funny is, like, I can be up here and be like, hey, say hello to the person next to you. And you're like, oh, drive, 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 drive. That's all I hear. Oh, drive, 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 drive. It's like, hey, now compliment their watches. Oh, drive, 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 drive. It's like, but do it on your own. Do it on your own. And I get it, you know, Tom, that's weird because, you know, I don't want them thinking I'm hitting on them or whatever. Like, I get that. I get that. Totally get that. But again, I think we can overthink things too much. And God is just saying, if not here, where the broken can find healing, where are they supposed to go? So, again. Verse 12, if you can put that back up on the screen, please. Talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. I know that what I'm suggesting here tonight is a big thing. Because Tom, I don't always have a great day. But we do have access to Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you. Because I get it. Like it's hard. It is hard. And I don't think for a second that I understand every person who is in here. Some of you, it might have been the most difficult thing in the world just to get in the seat that you're currently sitting in. I understand that. So I'm not asking that, like, hey, suck it up, buddy. Let's, you know, keep going. That's not the heart of God. God wants to meet us where we're at. God wants to move through us. He wants us to be anointed together. Oh, what a church that would be, where we wouldn't care about what other churches in town are doing, but we would celebrate with them. That other churches in town, we wouldn't have to look at them as competition. But I see, and I've been talking with our worship team about this, I see in the future how amazing it would be if all the churches in Bakersfield packed out Mechanics and we worshiped God as a city. If each church, we got together and we planned our different nights of worship, and every weekend we were like, hey, we're going over here this week, we're going over there this next week. Every single night, if Bakersfield, Kern County, I see God seeing that and being like, let's go in that direction. Let's be unified as church. But it does start with us. Those ideas are great, but it does start with us. We can't love all these other churches around us if we don't even know the people we're currently sitting next to. So let's pray, and we'll pray this. Father God, we just thank you so much. You are not done yet. You want for the church to be healthy. You want for us to grow in knowing you. Father, I pray a blessing over every single person listening to this. I pray that they would know your nearness. That they would no longer doubt if you love them. That they would no longer question if you care for them. The original idea for the church was that it would be a whole bunch of people from all walks of life that have met their God. That can't run from the love that you have for us anymore. Help us, God, to set down our shields, to stop fighting, and to truly surrender. Surrender our reputation, our ego, and truly, God, just come close to you. You will guide us. You will take us where we need to be. Thank you, God, that you delight yourself with us, that you sing over us. And let this be a start to something great, new, and amazing. For those, God, tonight that need to give their lives to you, I pray that you would give them strength in their legs and confidence in their mind to come to the front and get prayer. For those that are carrying something on their own and they can't take it anymore, that they would get prayer tonight. We love you, God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, guys, have a great rest of your night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.